God's word. Amen. The power of God's word to transform our lives. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Can someone grab a microphone and read for me very quickly? Debbie used to be my go-to person with her NLT on her phone, but alas, God is great, Abby. You will need a microphone, sir.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow.
Yeah.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Of man's hearts. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, God's word is power. As a matter of fact, God's word has power. And as a matter of fact, God's word is power. This verse of scripture describes just how powerful the word of God is. The ability that the word of God has. The Bible says that, first of all, the word is what? Living and active. That means that the word of God is alive. The word of God is a living thing. Hallelujah. And he says that because the word of God is actually a person. Jesus is the word of God. Amen. So that's why it starts by saying that the word of God is living and active. It's powerful. It has power. Amen. He then goes on to describe the word's ability. He says it is sharper than any double-edged sword. That is, if you were to bring a double-edged sword is a sword that can cut on this side and can cut on that side. You know, your normal kitchen knife is single edge because you can only use one side to cut. But a double-edged sword is a sword that both this side and that side can cut. So, the writer of Hebrews is saying that the sharpest double-edged sword that you can find, the way it can cut, the word of God is sharper than that. He says that because, what does he say the word can do? He says it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. The word of God can distinguish between soul and spirit. The word of God can come and separate, as it were, soul and spirit. It can split a human being, soul and spirit and even body. Because it says, look at it. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That talks about the body. Soul and spirit, and then joints and marrow is a reference to the body. That is, even in the body, it can slice and distinguish between joint and marrow. Hallelujah. Marrow is that thing that is inside the bone. The word of God can split it all open. He says that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that word judge, when he says the word of God, the word of God knows the intents of your heart, and when he says it judges your attitudes, is the word that means to be decisive, to make a judgment, to come to a conclusion. You know, the same way a judge gives a judgment in a law case, a decisive judgment, guilty or not guilty. Hallelujah. That's the way the word of God is. Very decisive, very clear. You know, the judge at the end of the case doesn't say, at the end of this case, you see, my judgment is that I'm not really sure whether this man is guilty or not. So let's I'm not sure. No. There is always a verdict. It's either the man is guilty or not guilty. That's the word judge there. Kritikos in the Greek. To be decisive, to conclusively say something. To give a final judgment. That's how powerful the word of God is. Hallelujah. But you see, the word of God also does much more than this. It does much more than, you know, dividing the body, the soul, the spirit, and all that. The word of God, let's look at some other things that the word of God can do. Psalm 119 verse 105. Psalm 119 verse 105. Who'll read that for me? Psalm 119 verse 105. Pastor Wally, can you help us with that scripture?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Simply put, the word of God can give you direction because it says it's a light unto my feet. And a light, and a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The word of God can give you direction. Hallelujah. Another ability or quality of the word, John 1 verse 9. John chapter 1 from verse 9. Let me read this one myself. John chapter 1 from verse 9. Are you here? Pay attention. From verse 9, the Bible says, that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. I intended to read it from verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of what? Men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Says verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. So God's word gives you light. He says it was the word was the light of men. He says it lights every man. It gives light. That word light there is the word photizo, from which we get the word photo in English. Photizo in the Greek, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. It means to shine, to brighten up, to enlighten. Figuratively, it means to give knowledge, to illuminate, or to make to see. The word of God enlightens you. The word of God gives you illumination. If you go back to Psalm 119, look at verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. Debbie, can you read again for us? Psalm 119, verse 130.
The opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
All right, the what?
The opening of
the
thy
opening,
word.
Okay. What the KJV calls the entrance of thy word. Give it what? Light. It gives enlightenment. So the word of God, we have said, is powerful. It can divide asunder soul and spirit and body. But apart from this, the word of God can give you direction, can give you illumination. But apart from this, we also said the word of God can brighten or can give you knowledge. It can illuminate your life. Hallelujah. It brings life, light and illumination to the simple. The word simple there means a foolish man. Somebody that can easily be deceived. So when the Bible says that the entrance of your word giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple. It simply means that it makes somebody that can easily be deceived wise. It gives him sense, as it were. Hallelujah. Now look at James chapter 1. Let's tie this to what the Apostle James says. Just stay with me. I'm building a foundation. We're going somewhere. James chapter 1. This scripture I have explained many times, but I'll just do good to explain it again today. I'll read it first in the King James, and then I'll read it in the NIV, because it puts it in English that we can easily understand. Wherefore, KJV says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save what? Your souls. Now, just a cursory glance at this scripture looks like he's saying that lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the word that is able to save you or to give you salvation. Hallelujah. But then listen to what or how the NIV translates it. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. That's what the KJV means when he says the engrafted word. The word of God has already been planted in the believer. By virtue of your salvation, by virtue of being born again, the word of God resides inside you. Hallelujah. You are born of the word of God. The seed of God abides in you. And so you have the word implanted in you by God himself. And the Bible says that it is able to save your souls. I wrote in my notes, I said, God's word has been implanted in our hearts and it has the power to save our souls. What this means is that God's word can give us the right perspectives to issues. Amen. That's what it means when he says it can save your soul, which is able to save your soul. God's word can give you the right attitude to have. How do I know this? You read in context. Amen. Because he had said, look at verse 5 to verse 7. Before now, the man James had been talking about different attitudes that his hearers or the recipients of these letters had been exhibiting. He had been trying to correct some things that he had maybe been seeing or he has been hearing in them. And it is in response to all those issues that he says that they should lay aside. Hallelujah. Look at it. Verse 5 to verse 7 of James chapter 1. Look at this now. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Okay? And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James says that if you lack wisdom, the correct thing to do is to ask God. Ask in faith, God will give you. Amen. Go to verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Hallelujah. So he says, let the poor rejoice that he is exalted by virtue of being saved. Hallelujah. And then the rich, the man who is rich but is not saved, should go and hide his face, because very soon he will pass away. Hallelujah. It then gets to verse 13. I'm skipping, you know, and then just hitting the point, the main point. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil. And then number 2, neither tempted he any man. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Skip to verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man does not demonstrate the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. And then it is to all this that he says in verse 21, wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So in context, the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness are all these attitudes that he has been listing. Making assumptions anyhow. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of. Maybe there were people in their midst that were saying, look, it's God that is just causing all these things to happen to us. The man is saying, stop thinking that way. That is an assumption based off of the flesh. Based off of natural, carnal thinking. Hallelujah. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Maybe people in the midst had been thinking that, maybe God is the one that is punishing us. Maybe God is the one. You know, just that attitude of just assuming anything anyhow about God is what James is saying. Lay all these behaviors aside. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the word that has already been engrafted within you. In other words, pay attention to the word. Because the word will give you the right perspectives to have instead of all these other ways that you guys have been thinking. Do we understand? Do we understand the context of James chapter 1 now? Hallelujah. So you see, the word of God works always. All you need to do is to pay attention to it. Pay attention to the word of God. It works. Amen. The word of God, as we have seen, it overcomes darkness. We saw that in John chapter 1. It shines and gives illumination. We saw that in Psalm 119. It brings understanding. We saw that in Psalm 119 verse 130. It answers all the questions of your heart. The Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. That's Hebrews 4 verse 12, the first scripture that we read. We've seen all the great and glorious things that the word of God can do. The word of God is it's strong, it's powerful, it can do great things. But you see, if you do not pay attention to it, then it will be as though the word of God is powerless. The word of God will not cause changes within your life. It will not transform your life if you don't pay attention to it. That's what James was saying to them when he said, pay attention to the word that is already engrafted within you. The word of God is within you already. It has been deposited there by God himself in redemption. Pay attention to it. Hallelujah. If you look at verse 25, same James chapter 1, he tells them how the word of God can be of benefit to them. Verse 25, James chapter 1, he says, before we go there, I skipped a point I was supposed to make. I said that the word of God always works, right? The word of God always works. Always, always. The word of God always does all these things that we have read that it does. Always gives illumination, always shines, always gives you the right attitudes and perspectives to have. You know, the word of God does what the Bible says that the word of God does. Hallelujah. But you see, when does the word of God not work? Or when does it look like the word of God is not working? Amen. It's when it doesn't enter, when you don't allow the word to enter into your heart. And when does the word not enter in your heart? When you stop looking at it. When you stop paying attention to it. So verse 25 of James 1 will make sense to us now. He says, but whoso looketh, I think the preacher on Sunday said something about this verse as well. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. You see that phrase? You look into the perfect law of liberty, which is a metaphor for the word of God, and you continue in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. Two things. Number one, two things that we see in that verse 25. Number one, you continue to look. Whoso looks and continues therein, or he continues to look. Amen. Let me see how the NIV puts it. Yeah, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that's the word, and continues in it. Hallelujah. If you continue in the word, you are the one who will be blessed in your deeds. You are the one that the benefits of the word will be evident in your life. That's what it means to be blessed in your deeds. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I said number two, to forget is to stop doing the word. When he says, listen, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and one continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, number two. So the man that does not continue is the man that is a forgetful hearer. Because there is a contrast there. He says, you look at it and you continue in it, not being a forgetful hearer. In other words, if you don't continue in it, you're a forgetful hearer. You are hearing the word, but you are not paying attention to it. That's what it means by being forgetful. The solution is to continue to look. The solution is to continue to pay attention. Why? Because it is... Someone said it is repetition that brings transformation. You must continue receiving the same things again and again and again. Think about it. How did you grow to be as old as you are now? Is it not by eating the same foods over and over and over and over again? Imagine the first time you ate rice in your life ever as a child. Now, imagine the next time you ate rice after that. Now, imagine the next time after that. Imagine how many times you've eaten rice in your life. Did the rice stop working for you simply because you've eaten it too much? No. It always works. The food will stop working only when you stop eating. Do you understand? It's exactly the same thing with the word. You need to continue to look at it for it to have any meaningful impact. Sometimes we don't pay enough attention to the word, and there are times when we keep going based on head knowledge, based on reservoir, based on sometimes the prayer of your father and your mother, the prayer of your pastors. But you see, at some point, because you are not paying attention to the word, it will show in your life. Because you see, you can only go so far on the strength of others. At some point, your own faith that needs to be born out of conviction in the word that you have come to by yourself, at some point, it will become evident that you don't have that conviction if you don't pay attention to the word. The same way it will become obvious that this man has not eaten if he doesn't eat for days. Hallelujah. If he doesn't eat and tomorrow can manage to get by the next day, he'll be very weak. But maybe by us holding him, he can still get to where he's going. Maybe Pastor Wale stays on this side, then me, I stay on the other side. But you see, by the third day of no food, no matter how much we hold him, the man will be useless. He'll be useless to us. He'll be useless to himself. He'll be useless to God. Hallelujah. So, at some point, it will become clear that you are not paying attention to the word if you don't pay attention to the word. The prayer of your pastors will no longer avail for you. Listen, I'm not talking about listening to the message on Sunday, that one has its place. I'm talking about the place of your own personal study. Hallelujah. You must find time for the word. The same way you find time to eat, that's the same way you must find time for God's word. Hallelujah. Let's look at some, you know, parallel scriptures to this. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. Seems we've quoted this a lot in time in recent past. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Hallelujah. You see there that word rooted is the word rizo or rizu in the Greek, whichever one is correct. R-H-I-Z-O-O. It means to be stable. It means to be stable. As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so continue in him, being stable and built up in him. So, stability is as a result of continuing in Christ. A tree that its roots have grown deep into the ground is very stable. No little wind will just push it over because the roots have gone deep. That's the picture that is being painted here. Your roots must go deep, and it is by receiving the same things over and over and over again. Many of us get tired with physical food. Say, we've eaten too much rice in this house. Let's go and eat something else. But you see, the moment you eat something else and you are satisfied, you will eat rice again the next day. Hallelujah. Do you understand? I'm saying that, you see this idea of, let's hear something new. Is he only Christ died? Is he only redemption? It cannot help you. What births stability is hearing the same things over and over and over again. That is what makes you stable. Paul said, I will not be negligent to remind you of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. For me to write the same things to you, for me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. For you to hear these things over and over again, that is where safety is. The man that does not hear it again and again and again is what the man James has called a forgetful hearer. You must continue to pay attention to it. This is where your strength comes from. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. If you are there, you can read for us. Anybody there?
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an, inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Hallelujah. You see that phrase, build you up. Build you up. It means to edify. It means to rear up. It means to build upon. The idea is the idea of a bricklayer. The way he puts one brick, and then he puts another one, and then he puts another one, and then he puts another one. That is what God's word does to you. The man said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He's able to put one piece on top of the other, like that, like that, like that, like that, to rear you up. Hallelujah. The word of God is what edifies you, is what gives you nourishment, is what strengthens you. And so, what births transformation is repetitive learning. Hallelujah. Amen. What births transformation is what? Repetitive learning. if you don't learn anything else from this session that we just had, learn this. What gives birth to a change, what results in a corresponding change in your life is repetitive learning. You must repeat the same thing over, you must learn the same thing over and over and over and over again. Just continue learning the same thing. That is what brings transformation. The reason why people read the Bible for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, and then drop it and say, well, what is not working, Joe? It's because they have not understood that it is repetitive learning. Continue in it. That's what James said. Just continue in it. With time, you will see the changes. The word of God is an influence. The word of God is an influence. And if you stay with it, it will change your life. You will see a transformation in your life if you stay with the word. When I say the word of God is an influence, I mean it will change your thoughts. It will change your speech. And it will change your actions. Hallelujah. And these are the three major areas that the believer's character is mentioned with respect to in the New Testament. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions. This is how we know that you are a child of God. Amen. Your thoughts, your speech or your words, and your actions. You will always struggle to be like Jesus in those three respects if you do not continue to pay attention to the word of God. You will always struggle. Always. Because it is paying attention to God's word that births transformation. Repeated attention. Just continue to learn the same thing. That's what brings transformation. Hallelujah. In other words, the word of God is potent enough in itself to change you. You don't need anything else. The word of God is what? Potent enough in itself to change you. You see, the same way when they tell you to take a drug, if you have headache, for instance, when you swallow the drug, it goes into your stomach, doesn't it? But the drug finds its way to solve your headache. When you have a headache, do they split your head open and put the paracetamol inside? You simply swallow it and you allow it to do its thing. When you have stomach ache, you don't split your stomach open and put Buscopan or Flagyl or what's the other one when you're purging? There's one other drug. Can't remember. Sorry? Tetracycline, thank you. Ah. Oh boy. A lot of people are not abusing drugs though. Okay. You don't split your stomach open and apply the drug directly. If you have a toothache, they give you painkillers. They are tablets you take. Or they want to inject it. Do you understand? You just swallow the thing, and the thing does how it finds its way to the tooth, to address the tooth, you don't know. In the same way, just keep consuming God's word. Just keep consuming God's word. God's word will correct all the things that it needs to correct in your life. Hallelujah. Your thought, your speech, and your actions. Hallelujah. See, the reason why you will be, all the instructions that we have in Bible, we'll look at them in the 5 minutes that we have left. All the instructions that we have in Bible concerning our thoughts, our speech, our actions, you will never be able to fulfill them the way God expects you to fulfill them if you do not pay attention to the word. If you don't continuously learn the word, if you don't continuously pay attention to God's word, you will never fulfill them. Let's look at them. Let's look at three areas of transformation. Three areas where the word of God births transformation in our lives. Without consistent intake of the word, this transformation will not be possible. Number one is in our thoughts. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You should be able to quote this one in your sleep as a member of this church. Hallelujah. Let's run through them very quickly because of our time. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. And it is God's word that renews your mind. You cannot have a renewed mind without paying attention to the word of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 verse 2. Another instruction regarding our thoughts. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Without repetitively learning God's word, you will not be able to fulfill this instruction. Do we understand? You won't be able to do this. Your mind will always be on things on the earth if you don't pay attention to the word. Philippians 4 verse 8, another instruction regarding the things that you fill your heart with, or the things that should preoccupy your thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things that you should meditate on. But unless the word of God becomes a preoccupation in your mind, you will not be able to think of these things. You'll be able to meditate. These things will not be able to preoccupy your mind. Your attention will be on other things. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, the last one concerning thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Look at this now. Ephesians 4, 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. One translation says, in the attitude of your mind. 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. You cannot be renewed in the spirit of your mind without a healthy and consistent intake of God's word. Let's look at speech. We've looked at some scriptures concerning the thoughts. Let's look at your speech or your words. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. It says, verse 14 has disappeared from my Bible. Okay, it has appeared. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and of deceitful plotting, but what? Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. Hallelujah. See, speaking the truth in all things will be hard for you if you don't pay attention to the word. What did I say? Speaking the truth in love will be hard for you. This particular instruction to make sure our speech is of a particular standard is very... I think Paul laid more emphasis on this than on any other thing as regards Christian character. Your speech. Speaking the truth in love is what he just said. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25. Same chapter, chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying... let each one of you do what? Speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Hallelujah. It says to put away lying and speak truth. This will be hard for you to fulfill if you don't pay attention to the word. You will always be lying. You will never speak the truth if you don't pay attention to the word. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what should proceed out of your mouth? What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Hallelujah. Chapter 5, Verse 4, the next chapter. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. All these things will be difficult for you to do if you do not repetitively learn the word. Keep the word close to your heart. Verse 18 and 19 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 is where I'm going. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You will not be able to fulfill this instruction if the word of God is not close to your heart. If the word of God, if you don't pay attention to the word of God, you will not be able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You will be speaking to yourselves in the language of the day. Hallelujah. Let's look at actions. So we've looked at three areas of transformation of the word: your thoughts, we've looked at your speech. Let's look at actions. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, 11. The encouragement to have actions or deeds that are consistent with that of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with what? The unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them. He says, have no communion with what he calls unfruitful works of darkness. Works of darkness that yield no result. There is no fruit in them. Look at chapter 4, where we are coming from. Chapter 4, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Look at these instructions. They will be hard for you to fulfill if you don't have the word of God in your heart. Look at verse 17. I'll just run through verse 17 and 20 to 24 as we close. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Look at that. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Look at the contrast. Look at what he has described, how the Gentiles, how the unbelievers walk. He has described their actions. He has described what preoccupies their lives. He's now about to tell you what you should do instead. He has just told you not to emulate them, not to be consistent in character with the Gentiles. He says, but you have not so learnt Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ Jesus. He says that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. All these instructions will be very far from you if the word of God does not become your mirror. James says, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, this is the man that will be blessed in all his deeds. Stand to your feet. Let's worship God some. As we make a renewed commitment this evening, this morning, to pay attention to God's word. To pay attention to God's word, because we know that this is what sustains us. This is what will make your thoughts, your words, and your actions reflective of Christ Jesus. Oh, we give you praise, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you, Father, because it is implanted in us. And as we pay attention to it, our lives will reflect your character in thoughts, the things that we think, in words, the things that we say, and in actions, the things that we do. As we pay attention to your word, as we pay attention to your word, as we pay attention to your word, there will be a corresponding transformation by the power of the word. Lift your hands to him in the heavens, he's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Give him praise. That's why we came here this evening. This is why we came here, to praise him and worship him and learn the word. So don't get tired. This is just the beginning. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you glory. Let the singers just raise a song. Let's just worship God this evening. As I invite Pastor Wale, thank you, Lord God, we bless your name.